And you're listening to 90.7 FM
WGXC
Agra. Get it together.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia Counties is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat. And WGXC can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community.
Oh, heer ki khatir mar gaya raja, chhod ke takht hazara.
So what?
Aur heer ta phir di shopping kar di.
Big deal, dude.
Heer ta phir di shopping kar di. Din bhar sector 17, bhai. Din bhar sector 17.
Oh, man.
Oh, mainu nahi chahida koi raja.
Oh, chal chutti.
Na raanche di yaari.
Hai?
Dheere mainu te chadiya cha fashion da.
Hai chukla rabba mainu.
Mainu te chadiya cha fashion da. Koi toku na vaari vaari. Vi practical kudiya di.
ਘੜੀਆਂ ਛੁਪਾ ਦੋ ਸਾਰੀ ਕੁੰਡੀਆਂ ਲਗਾ ਦੋ ਸਾਰੀ ਭੁੱਲ ਕੇ ਵੀ ਅੱਜ ਵੀਰ ਵੇਖਣਾ ਨੀ ਟੈਮ ਵੇਖਣਾ ਨੀ ਟੈਮ ਵੇਖਣਾ ਨੀ ਟੈਮ ਭੁੱਲ ਕੇ ਵੀ ਵੇਖਣਾ ਨੀ ਟੈਮ ਓਏ ਭੰਗੜਾ ਤਾਂ ਸੱਜਦਾ ਵੈਨ ਨੋ ਵਨ ਗਿਵਸ ਅ ਡੈਮ ਭੰਗੜਾ ਤਾਂ ਸੱਜਦਾ ਵੈਨ ਨੋ ਵਨ ਗਿਵਸ ਅ ਡੈਮ ਭੰਗੜਾ ਤਾਂ ਸੱਜਦਾ ਭੰਗੜਾ ਤਾਂ ਸਜਦਾ ਵਨ ਵੀ ਫਲੈ ਲਾਈਕ ਅ ਕਾਈਟ ਭੰਗੜਾ ਤਾਂ ਸਜਦਾ ਵਨ ਵੀ ਫਲੈ ਲਾਈਕ ਅ ਕਾਈਟ ਭੰਗੜਾ
ਹਾਰਡਰ
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I am Fahim. I am 13 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
Woo! And we're here every Monday from 3:30 to 4, talking about books. All sorts of books.
Books we love.
Books, books, books. And we're usually here with our friend Amelia, who is busy this week, so we'll miss her. But we hope to have her back soon.
Yes.
And school's out soon. I mean, it's still a ways away. It's still a month or half a month.
I think so.
But time flies, so getting ready for summer. And one of the things we do in the summer is the Battle of the Books, which is a regional trivia contest that there's libraries from throughout the Mid-Hudson Library System, of which our library is a part, that compete on teams. So each library has a team. Well, not each library, but each library that participates has a team. And we all meet up one day for the teen battle. It's in August. And there's trivia battles around 5 books that teens from each of these libraries reads throughout the summer. There's a little, like, you know, it's Jeopardy style. You buzz in.
Yeah.
Except you don't have to say what is blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
You just say the answer.
Oh.
And this is Fahim's first year with the teen battle.
Yes.
He's official. He's a teen.
Yay.
Yay. And so we were going to share the descriptions for the 5 books in case anyone out there listening is a teen and wants to join our team. It will be fun. For the battle, you have to be entering grades 9 to 12 or a recent grad. Like, you could have just recently graduated from high school and still participate. You get one last hurrah summer before you're adulted and not able to be on the battle team anymore. So we got to have Ingrid on the team last year, which was fun.
Yeah.
But now she's too old. She can read the books, though. They're good.
Yeah.
I like the lineup this year. So do you want to tell our listeners about one of the books?
Yes. The first book I'm going to talk about is The Raven Boys. It's by
Maggie Stiefvater.
Yes, Maggie Stiefvater.
Speaking of someone with a funny name, it's a funny name.
Every year, Blue Sergeant slants next to her clay point. Mother as the son to be dead walk past. Blue never sees them until this year, when a boy emerges from the dark and speaks to her. His name is Genzi, a rich student in Acton Bay, the local private school. Blue has a policy of staying away from Acton Bay boys, known as Raven Boys. They can only mean in trouble. But Blue is drawn to Genzi in a way she can't entirely explain. He is on a quest that has encompassed 3 other Raven Boys. Adam, the scholarship student who resents the privilege around him. Ronan, the fierce soul whose emotions range from anger to despair. And Noah, the taciturn? Yeah, taciturn. Watcher who notices many things but says very little. Mm-hmm. For as long as she can remember, Blue has been warned that she will cause her true love to die.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't believe in true love and never thought this would be a problem. But as her life becomes caught up in the strange and sinister world of the Raven Boys, she's not so sure anymore.
That book's really fun. It's the first book in a series.
Yes.
I've only read the first book, that book, in the series. But it's got an interesting cast of characters. And Maggie Stiefvater's writing is just very, very interesting. I like her. I haven't read that much of her, but I really liked The Scorpio Races, which was a battle book a few years back. It's very good. Yay.
The second book is Ask the Passengers by A.S. King.
Yay.
In this truly original portrayal of a girl struggling to break free of society's definitions, Prince Honor author A.S. King asks readers to question everything and offers hope to those who will never stop seeking real love. Astrid Jones desperately wants to confide in someone, but her mother's pushiness and her father's lack of interest tell her they're the last people she can trust. Instead, Astrid spends hours lying on the backyard picnic table watching airplanes fly overhead. She doesn't know the passengers inside, but they're the only people who won't judge her when she asks from her most personal questions, like what it means, and she's falling in love with a girl. That she's falling in love with a girl. As a secret relationship becomes more intense and her friends demand answers, Astrid has nowhere left to turn. She can't share the truth with anyone except the people she imagines flying over her at 30,000 feet, and they don't even know she's there. But little does Astrid know just how much even the tiniest connection will affect these strangers' lives, and her own for the better.
Yeah, I like that one a lot too. I've been wanting to have an A.S. King book in the Battle of the Books for so long, and we finally got one, and it's my favorite of hers so far. But that it's interesting with her communicating with, or like, yeah, communicating with the people in the airplanes. You get little scenes throughout the book of what's happening in these airplanes, and it's never you have to decide for yourself if this is actually happening on the airplanes or if it's just what Astrid is thinking is happening. It's up to you to decide as the reader.
The third book is Symptoms of Being Human by Jeff Garvin. Okay, Riley Gavinage is many things. Punk rock, snarky, rebellious, and gender fluid. Some days Riley identifies as a boy and others as a girl. But Riley isn't exactly out yet. And between starting a new school and having a congressman father running for re-election in Uber conservative Orange County, the pressure, media, and otherwise is building up in Riley's life. On the advice of a therapist, Riley starts an anonymous blog to vent those pent-up feelings and tell the truth of what it's really like to be a gender-fluid teenager. But just as Riley's starting to settle in at school, even developing the feelings for a mysterious outcast, the blog goes viral, and an unnamed commander discovers Riley's real identity, threatening exposure. After Riley must make a choice, walk away from what the blog has created, a lifeline, new friends, a cause to believe in, or stand up, come out, and risk everything. From debut author Jeff Garvin comes a powerful and uplifting portrait of a modern teen struggling with high school relationships and what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm. Hey. So I'll read the last two?
Sure.
Okay. Great. So we have two more books for the battle. One is We Are the Ants by Sean David Hutchinson. The description is... Henry Denton has spent years being periodically abducted by aliens. Then the aliens give him an ultimatum. The world will end in 144 days, and all Henry has to do to stop it is push a big red button. Only he isn't sure if he wants to. After all, life hasn't been great for Henry. His mom is a struggling waitress held together by a thin layer of cigarette smoke. His brother is a jobless dropout who just knocked someone up. His grandmother is slowly losing herself to Alzheimer's, and Henry is still dealing with the grief of his boyfriend's suicide last year. Wiping the slate clean sounds like a good choice to him. But Henry is a scientist first, and facing the question thoroughly and logically, he begins to look for pros and cons. In the bully who is his perpetual one-night stand, in the best friend who betrayed him, in the brilliant and mysterious boy who walked into the wrong class, weighing the pain and the joy that surrounds him, Henry is left with the ultimate choice. Push the button and save the planet and everyone on it, or let the world and his pain be destroyed forever. That one's also really good.
Cool.
I read that one last summer. Yay. And we have one more, which is by Meg Medina. And it's called Yaki Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass. And I'll bring up the description. But... it's about a young girl named Pity. And so one morning before school, Pity's only been in this new school for 5 weeks. And this girl comes up to her and tells her that Yaki Delgado hates her and wants to kick her ass. Pity doesn't even know who Yaki is, never mind what she's done to piss her off. Word is that Yaki thinks Pity is stuck up, shakes her stuff when she walks, and isn't Latin enough with her white skin, good grades, and no accent. And Yaki isn't kidding around, so Pity better watch her back. At first, Pity is more concerned with trying to find out more about the father she's never met and how to balance honors courses with her weekend job at the neighborhood hair salon. But as the harassment escalates, avoiding Yaki and her gang starts to take over Pity's life. Is there any way for Pity to survive without doing herself off or running away? In an all-too realistic novel, Meg Medina portrays a sympathetic heroine who is forced to decide who she really is. Mm-hmm. And that's book number 5.
Interesting.
So that's quite the interesting lineup of books. I thought this one was sort of interesting because she's new to school and all of a sudden somebody's really upset with her and wants to beat her up. And she doesn't even know who they are. She has to go and like borrow a yearbook from the library to look up who this person is and see what they look like. That's a good book. And I love Teen Battle. And I love that it's 5 books. It's the perfect number of books.
Yay.
For summer reading. So if anyone out there listening either is a teen who is interested in joining the battle or knows a teen who would be interested, we supply all the books so you don't have to buy the books. And we read them over the summer and then we practice as a team doing some trivia and then we go spend a day battling it out.
Yes.
In a good, non-violent way.
Yeah.
Just with buzzers and cheering and stuff. It's very fun. But yeah. Oh, and the regional battle this year is Saturday, August 18th. So, save the date. but I have a couple books I could talk about. I know Fahim's been busy with schoolwork, so he hasn't had much of a chance to read in the last week.
Yes.
But I had time to read a couple books that I thought I'd talk about. One is a graphic novel for middle grade readers called Monsters Beware, by Rafael Rosado and Jorge Aguirre. And this is the third book in a series that started with Giants Beware, and the second book was Dragons Beware. Giants Beware, I loved. It was one of my favorite kids' comics. And then Dragons Beware and Monsters Beware I both liked, but they have not lived up to my true love of Giants Beware. So all three are suggested, but definitely check out Giants Beware. But the series is about three friends. So the main character is Claudette, who's this sort of fiery redhead, sort of tomboy, fighter girl. they live in this small town. It's sort of like medieval times. And Claudette doesn't want to do quote unquote girlish things. She wants to fight monsters and battle. She wants to, you know, fight in the face of danger and like, she has no fear. Oh. And big dreams for monster fighting, monster bashing. And then her friend, whose name I'm blanking on, Marie, is a sort of a princess in training. But I think the way that her parents, so she actually does want to be a princess, but the way that her parents want her to be a princess is very like pristine and they don't really like Claudette's influence on her, but she's brave in her own right and strong and smart. And then we have Claudette's younger brother, Gaston, who wants nothing more than to be a famous chef and cook all day and all night and be known for his wonders of cooking. And then there's also a sidekick dog, Valiant, their dog. But Valiant's not much of a character in this one. So in this book, the town is hosting the Warrior Games, which is a big deal because way, way back when Claudette's father and mother were younger, they used magic, which is not allowed in the Warrior Games. And so that kind of ruined this town's role in the Warrior Games for many years. But they've finally been invited back into the Warrior Games and have been invited to host. Okay. And so Claudette's really excited about that, And they even make a bet because Marie is supposed to be going to princess in training school and doesn't want to go. She wants to stay at home with her friends. And so they make a bet with Marie's father that if they win the Warrior Games, that she'll get to stay. And he says, okay, but if you lose, then Claudette has to lose this, like, this battling desire. She has to lose her sword, you know, act like a proper lady. So the stakes are high. But Claudette's, you know, she's in it to win it because she wants to fight monsters, which is what usually happens at the Warrior Games. Except this year, the rules have been changed. And the Marquis has made the event about different tasks, such as butter churning and making a sculpture out of the butter. And then, like, hunting for truffles and, like, plowing a field. So it's very different things. So Claudette's pretty disappointed. But meanwhile, while they're involved in this Warrior Games, the vicious sea queen and her evil children have come back and are trying to free this evil wizard who's been encased in amber in the town. And so they want to free him. They want to win the games as part of that. And they start sort of knocking off the competition in a way. And everyone but Claudette, well, nobody actually except for Gaston and Marie seem to notice this. And they're trying to convince Claudette about what's happening. But she has her eye on the prize, so has a hard time seeing it until a certain point. But so there's a lot of adventure and monsters and silliness. It's pretty fun. It's definitely more for kids than for adults, but I still liked it. Good times. And then I read another book just recently that is by somebody who writes comics, but this is not a comic, and so I was curious to read it. It's called Saving Montgomery Soul by Mariko Tamaki, and I found out about this book because it's part of this Sync series for the summer, which is an audio book series that every summer they have audiobooks, two downloads per week that are free, that are geared towards teens, that are centered on each week. It's a different theme. And they try to pair two books that match those themes. And usually it's one contemporary and one classic, or one nonfiction and fiction, or one teen, one adult that's appropriate for teens. And so this was one of the books this summer, and I hadn't heard of it before, so I thought I'd check it out. And she is, I think, best known for This One Summer, which is a comic that she did with Jillian Tamaki. But yeah, I'll read the description on this one. In sight, not see. Black light, not be. This is the curious instruction that comes with the Eye of No, the possibly powerful crystal amulet that Montgomery Soul buys online for $5.99. It's also the next topic of discussion at Mystery Club. Members, Monty and her two best friends, Thomas and Naoki. Dedicated to the exploration of unexplained phenomena. When Monty wears the Eye of No, strange things happen, all targeted at people she despises. Maybe it will help Monty take down her newest enemy, a preacher who has come to save her town from so-called sinners. Sinners like Monty's moms. Or will its mysterious powers mean the end of the friendships Monty cherishes most? And what I liked about this book is that while there is, like, a story arc and there is some action, it feels very everyday throughout and in a way that isn't boring. I really liked the characters, and I thought the Mystery Club aspect was interesting, and some of the issues that she deals with at school. And they also, I think, portrayed the family very well. I think sometimes families are kind of ignored in some teen books.
Yeah.
Like, either it's all the teens go off on a mission, or all the teens are orphaned.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, the parents are gone for the summer. The teens are on their own. And so I liked the portrayal of the moms and the sister, and sort of, like, the home relationship as well as the school relationship with her and her friends. And then with the Eye of No, there's a moment where you're wondering, is it actually a magic amulet, or are things just happening by chance? Because that's the thing with a story. You never know if it's, is it contemporary fiction where someone's using something that they think is magic, but it's not actually magic and, you know, things are just happening by chance, or is it really magic because it's a story and anything goes?
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of fun to wonder, what kind of book is this? Is it a fantasy book? Is it a contemporary book? Like realistic fiction? So I don't know. I liked it.
Interesting.
And I listened to that primarily because it was this audiobook program.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, we're almost out of time. We're going to be handing it off to the afternoon show shortly. But I'm wondering if you have any books on your to-read list for the summer, or are you primarily doing battle books?
Yes.
Do you have any other books you're looking forward to? Like, I know you read a lot of comics.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start reading Giants Beware and stuff.
Oh, yeah? You're going to check those out? They're really fun. I would definitely start with Giants Beware because it's the best one. So if you read that and you don't like it, then you probably won't like the other ones. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I have a bunch of comics at home right now that I'm interested in reading. Oh. There's a new one by Hope Larson called, I think it's All Summer Long. And I got some new fantasy one that sounds really good. And I still have to read more Ms. Marvel, more Lumberjanes. I have another Vision comic.
Oh.
They're piling up. I need to start reading those.
Oh, yeah, and I'll be reading Ghost Talk. I forgot the author's name.
Yeah. That sounds cool. Awesome. So much reading to do. And so we have a lot of summer programs at the library. So anyone interested should look up on HudsonAreaLibrary.org. Under programs, you can see summer reading programs drop down to see what's going on. But we also have reading logs where people can keep track of their reading throughout the summer. And then we do like a raffle at the end for, you know, for each book you read, you get to enter into the raffle. There's some fun prizes. Plus, it's just fun to keep track of your reading.
Yeah.
I do that all the time, even though the prize is, you know, the joy of reading and knowing how many books I've read. Keeping track. But anyways, yeah. So we're going to hand off to the afternoon show soon, but we hope everyone has a really wonderful week, and we'll be back next Monday to talk about some more books. So happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
See you.